Someone asked me about copies of this presentation. They will be made available when I get done PowerPoints here. Also, I don't know if you're aware, I mentioned last week, the audios are available on our website. Go to stjlutheran.org and then follow the links and you'll get to the audios. Hope they come across okay. This is a very sensitive topic. This is from last week. That's why I'll start with that. Very sensitive topic. I already got some pushback from some people because we get involved in these types of practices and we don't realize, we never take the time to sit back and ask ourselves, is this really proper or not? And as I've mentioned last week and after the early service, Katie said nobody understands my point. We're behind the curve. You know what that means? Some other people understand it. What should I say? We're just behind the issue. It's already become accepted, certainly in Minnesota. And now we're trying to, what's the word to use when you're trying to backtrack and get back on top of an issue again, okay? That's what we're trying to do now. So I wanted to go through some things on cremation here. And by the way, we're going to get also to embalmment, which is going to, I'm going to get a lot of pushback on that one, I bet. By the way, I had somebody also ask me, what about organ donation? I'll deal with that later. So, I'd gone through a bunch of passages last week, and I'm just the messenger. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. In the Bible, it's clear that fire always represented the wrath and anger of God. It never was appropriate in the saints in the Old and New Testament to burn up their dead. The pagans burned up their dead. Not the Christians, and not the Old Testament believers. And I showed you several passages last week where when people had rebelled against God, fire came out from heaven and consumed them. And you've got the whole business of hell being described as fire that is never quenched. Next slide, Pastor Johnson. While burial has been the historic practice for Christians, recently cremation has become increasingly popular. Look at this, 1960, 232 crematories. By 2010, 2,000. What happened here? Boom! It just exploded among us. And this is 6 years, 3 years later, we probably got even more. The cremation rate in the United States continues to rise. 48% in 2015, up from 47% in 2014, and it continues to rise. And some of you, I copied this out of the paper last Sunday. It's in almost every week. Seen this? Yes. Full page ad for cremation. 59% of Minnesotans choose cremation. Well, then we should. Everybody's doing it, right? Minnesotans are finding peace of mind when they choose cremation. I'm going to show you, if we get to it today, what actually happens at a cremation. I don't know how this can give a person peace of mind about their loved one when you see what goes on in a cremation. They're finding that their wishes are best met with the simplicity and dignity of the cremation rite. Dignity instead of the complicated and costly conventional burials. By the way, cremation is not that cheap either. Let's see if anything else I want to comment. And then they got a bunch of things about cremation. You can fill out this thing if you want to get ahead of the game a little bit and plan on. There may be some of you, don't raise your hands here, have already got your funeral plans made up. You've already signed a contract to get cremated. I don't know what the legality of this thing is, but I don't think they can hold you to it. I think if you signed a thing and you decide after this presentation, I don't want to do that. Go tell your friend the director, tear it up. Next slide, please. We have great confidence. This is a quote from somewhere. I can't remember where I got this now. Cremation Society of North America. We have great confidence in our projection that the cremation rate will reach 54.3% by 2020, said Cana Board President Sherry Stull. Track record of projections is extremely accurate, never varying more than 1% from the actual numbers once recorded. That statistical accuracy coupled with research showing that 2 out of 3 Americans, that's incredible, 2 out of 3 say that they're likely to choose cremation. That reflects a major societal shift towards cremation. What happened? What do you think happened here that contributed to this? Hello? We preachers never said anything. The church didn't say anything. The church continues to be the conscience of the United States. And when we don't speak up on things, whether it's abortion, same-sex marriage, cremation, whatever, society will run amok. That's a fact. By the way, we have to face the fact that when we do stand up against certain practices, societal issues, like abortion, that's an easy one, I think, to stand up on, same-sex marriage, homosexual activity and behavior, cremation, and other things, we will get a lot of pushback from our society. Next slide, please. The Cremation Society of Minnesota is pushing cremation, running advertisements in local newspapers, such as this one in a recent edition of the Osseo Press. The ad urges people to join the Cremation Society, claiming that 57% of Minnesotans choose cremation. That's out of here. And quote, more Minnesotans are finding peace of mind and their wishes are best met with the simplicity and dignity of the cremation rite. And I read that earlier. Current charge for cremation is around $1,500. I'm not sure what that covers. I had wanted to, unless some of you know, my plan this week was to go to Norby Funeral Home and ask them about what this all covers, what the cremation rates really are. I'm going to try to do that before next week. If I get some more honest information, maybe talk to Kevin over in St. Michael. Although I suspect if they find out what I'm doing, they may not want to be so open about what they're saying. Next slide. The popularity of cremation has exploded in the last decade, especially prevalent in Minnesota. What happens in our state? Lutherans and Catholics, for the most part, you'd think this would be the state behind. It's especially prevalent in Minnesota, where 60% of people choose it. By 2030, Minnesota is poised to have the highest percentage of cremations in the country, according to the National Funeral Directors Association from the Star Tribune this past fall. The highest rate in the whole country. And again, as I read that, I'm thinking to myself, this is incredible. I have quoted a little bit later here that the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope himself, has made some comments about cremation. And that's why I don't understand why this is true in Minnesota. By the way, the ELCA, hope I don't offend anybody here who's in the ELCA, they never take a strong stand on anything except gun control, and it's, well, I won't go there. Next thing. People choose cremation not only because it's cheaper, I put there not really, but also because it offers portability and flexibility. Portability, what's that talking about?
Carry the ashes around.
Right. You actually can carry them around in your car all the time.
Right.
Have your grandma with you all the time. But I'm going to talk about that a little later. Flexibility. I'm not sure what flexibility means. What does that mean?
You don't have to have the funeral right away.
I guess that's what they're talking about. And with fewer people adhering to formal religion, there's the problem. Some of the ceremony that used to surround death is gone, says Dan Delmore, president of Gertie Delmore Funeral Chapels. Formal religion, some of the ceremony used to surround the death is gone. This is a sad situation. Because now we're just letting our loved ones die. Or, by the way, I really believe that probably won't happen in my lifetime, but I think we're really not far from, we're going down a slippery slope real quick, where euthanasia is already being talked about, right? Euthanize the infirm, the elderly. And you know, if we can defend killing babies, which one of the candidates for president wants to do, the audacity, and by the way, I'm not defending Donald Trump, I don't want to get into politics, but his groping of women, which none of us likes, that pales in comparison with murdering thousands of innocent babies year after year after year in this country, if you want my opinion. What is the far worse social issue? His groping of women, I mean, the guy ought to clean up his act, but you know, that doesn't affect us nationally. But certainly these little babies being murdered, if we can justify that, how is abortion justified, by the way?
Rights of the woman.
Rights of the woman. What else?
The babies were not going to survive anymore.
The baby, well, that's not always true. Because healthy babies are being aborted too.
I know.
Why?
That's how it's sold.
Why?
Research.
It's not research. We like it. Some of it is. Why are a lot of babies being aborted?
Convenience.
Convenience. They don't want them. This is incredible. I read somewhere, and I don't know if I'm right on this, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, please do, but I read once a couple years ago that a lot, the majority of abortions happen actually with middle class and upper class folks who really can afford it. They just don't want it. Is that true? Is that still true? Does anybody know?
No.
No?
No.
what is true.
Majority, I just heard from someone who works with public health, was poor people, because you can get it paid for, whereas birth control.
Okay, so that's shifted from what I read years ago, which just shows, again, the slippery slope we're on. But if you can justify murdering babies because they're inconvenient, they're in the way, or whatever the case, or you can use their parts, by the way, that's where research comes in, right? Use the baby's parts for, stem cell research and so on. I don't know why that argument can't apply to the infirm and the elderly. Aren't they in the way financially? Think about it. You got a grandma or grandpa who's completed, has dementia totally. This is a major drain on society financially, isn't it? Wouldn't it be better to give them a shot, have a little devotion with them, give them a shot, and put them to sleep peacefully, and then have a nice funeral? Wouldn't that be better? That's appealing to people. So I think we're going to see this thing happening too. Next slide. So what is cremation? It comes from the Latin word cremare, which means to burn, of course, and I want to talk about that a little bit. This gets kind of gruesome, but I'm going to put it up. We tend not to want to talk about this stuff. It's like abortion, too. We don't want to talk about what really goes on with abortion. Partial birth abortion, this is gruesome how that happens. Let's look at the next one. Cremation most likely came into existence, they claim, around 2000 BC, most likely originated in India, where cremation first took place as part of their religious practice. Why are we Christians imitating the Indians here? Next slide. Okay, here's what goes on from what I've read. The body is placed in a crematory furnace called a retort in the funeral industry. You always like to use these euphemisms. The retort is fired up to 1500, 1800 degrees for approximately 2 hours. During the procedure, jet engine-like flame attacks the body. Next slide. What happens is quite grotesque, as described by physician anatomist. The coffin is introduced to the furnace, where it rapidly catches fire, bulges, and wraps. The coffin's sides may collapse and fall, exposing the remains of the direct effect of the flames. The skin and hair, once scorched, char, and burn. The muscles slowly contract. There may be a steady spreading of the thighs, with gradually developed flexion of the limbs. Next slide. Occasionally there's a swelling of the abdomen before the skin and abdominal muscles char and split. Destruction of the soft tissues gradually exposes part of the skeleton. The skull is soon devoid of covering. Then the bones of limbs appear, commencing at the extremities of the limbs, where they are relatively poorly covered by muscle or fat. And the ribs become exposed, and the small bones of the fingers, wrists, and ankles remain united by their ligaments for a surprising length of time, maintaining their anatomical relationships, even though the hands and feet fall away from the adjacent long bones. Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
Is that what you want to do with your wife or your mother or your father? Next slide. The abdominal contents. This is my computer. The computer I have, the letters don't come out right. The abdominal... It's true. The abdominal contents... Okay. The abdominal contents burn slowly, the lungs more slowly still. The brain is especially resistant to complete combustion. Eventually the spine becomes visible. The viscera disappear and the bones glow whitely in the flames, and the skeleton falls apart. Quoted by a book, I've got a lot of my information from Dr. Al Schmidt, who was, by the way, one of the lectures yesterday on Islam. A very gruesome thing that happens. It's almost like he points out putting a roast in the oven. I mean, is that what you want to do with your loved one? And I think that cremation is being sold. Look at the euphemisms you have in something like this. Whoops. If it doesn't work, I'll get a new one. This idea that they're finding that cremation, that their wishes are best met with the simplicity and dignity of the cremation rite, I don't think that looks very dignified to me. And I'm not sure it's very simple either. Next slide. Cremation, cremated remains, not what many think. The bones are not reduced to ash, but remain and are pulverized by a grinding up process that reduces them to small granules. This is, look at this last one. White colored substance is then added to make the created ashes look more attractive. And by the way, I read too that these crematoria are not really scrubbed out necessarily after every cremation. which means what? Yeah, you got ashes with somebody else. I mean, you think it's your mother. Maybe your mother and some guy down the block you got in a fight with last week. Who knows? Is what?
Embalming.
I'm going to come to that later.
They don't do that.
Hold on. I'm going to talk about embalming the whole section later on. So this whole business here, grinding up the bones and putting in, then they got to add white stuff so it looks pretty.
What is that white stuff?
I don't know. Does anybody know what the white stuff is? What? Sugar? I don't know. Making potato. I don't know what it is. Some kind of substance. But this, you know, this is not what we expect, you know. And I think if America, and by the way, if we really publish this kind of stuff, people get real mad. They don't want to hear this. Do the next slide, please. Issues besides its roots in paganism, the gruesome and grotesque nature of cremation, which should cause Christians to think twice about the practice. And that, again, what did it say, 60% of Minnesotans or something, I forgot the statistic already, we're going to be leading the nation in cremations. I don't know how that happens, except we don't know what really goes on. So when you get this little urn with your loved one's ashes, who knows who you've got in there? Okay? Next slide. And these are some reasons why Christians historically have been against cremation. Number one, it can undermine the doctrine of the resurrection. The message of cremation is that the body is finished. Remember again, where did this practice come from? Pagan sources. Never believed in the resurrection anyway. The message of cremation is the body is finished. The ashes of cremation symbolize the fact of bodily dissolution rather than a perpetuation of the deceased until some future day. In other words, the ashes of cremation carry the opposite message from the remains of burial, quoted by this fellow, Cremation Today and Tomorrow. So, the whole doctrine. Now, we hear people say, well, God made Adam out of the dirt of the ground. He can raise the body out of the ashes. Yes, He can. I know that. None of us are going to disagree with that. However, what is the symbolism here? What are we saying by burning up the body and not having a burial in the ground? What does it say about our understanding of the resurrection? Especially when you think of the pagan sources, many who burned up the bodies in a direct denial of the resurrection. Next slide. For some, cremation may be an attempt to deny the harsh reality of death. Well, do you think Karen would mind if I mentioned what she said, a couple of things? I won't go too much to you. My sister-in-law was here last week. This was with embalming, but I think it'd be the case here too. Her son, Max, was killed in a violent head-on collision. Was it 4 or 5 years ago in Indianapolis? And of course, when you're in an auto accident like that, you don't look too pleasant afterwards. We'll talk about the embalming business later. But cremation, I think that's an effort on some people's part to deny the harsh, ugly reality of death. Burn up the body, you don't have to look at it. You don't have to deal with it. We Christians need to understand that death is a reality. We can face death, even a mangled body of our loved one, with hope and confidence. Why? Because we are Christians. We believe in the resurrection. And therefore our faith gives us the confidence that no matter what happened to our loved one, my parents didn't look so good either. My dad was in the ICU for, what, a week or two? He didn't look so good either. That's what death is. Our culture doesn't want to accept death and dying. See, years ago, probably before any of us were born, where did people die? At home. And you know, even as little children, we saw our loved one, our mother, our father, grandparents die. We were there. We watched it. I will ask you, how many of you have ever watched a person die? Okay. That can be a very, except for a Christian, a very disconcerting experience, can't it? I've seen several in my ministry. I suppose one of the, I don't know if it was the worst one, but my brother-in-law, Pastor Preuss, Clement Preuss, we were there in the room when he died. He was gasping for breath, took his last breath, and then that was it. Okay, it's in some sense a relief. And certainly in his case, what a pious Christian man he was. He talked nothing except about the resurrection. Bible passages all over the wall, was saying hymns with him all the time. It was a relief when he finally took his last breath and went into glory with his father, his uncle, his grand, my parents, etc. Okay, so death for us is something we face. We don't try to ignore it. Cremation can be, may be, an attempt to deny the harsh reality of dying. By the way, embalming also. Now, we'll just anticipate it now, because embalming, what do the funeral homes try to do? And I'm not criticizing. This is a business. Remember, the funeral directors, with all due respect, we got some nice ones here. I get along with them all. They are in business, which means
money.
Yeah, is that a sin? They're not pastors. They're not clergy. They're not priests. They're not rabbis. They're businessmen. So they're going to do what the public wants them to do. So why do they embalm the body? It may be right here. I mean, this business of, you know, making a person have a fake smile and having a... This is kind of spooky. It was had a hand up, Ruth.
So then when the body is mangled, disfigured, are you suggesting like a closed casket?
That's up to the family. I want to talk about this viewing business later, too. I don't know. That bothers me. You can do what you want to do, but the more I think about it, the less I want to have that done. I don't care if to have people gawking at my dead body saying he doesn't look like himself. What I should do is lay there and have a tape recorder. I'm dead. But this right here, our society does not want to face the reality of death. We just don't. And I think the cremation thing is probably an effort, in the case of many, that you don't have to deal with it. Burn the body up, you don't have to look at the body, you have to deal with it. Next slide, please. Cremation contradicts death as sleep. Isn't that how we've always looked at it? The Bible, Jesus often talked about, in fact, with Lazarus, I think of that case, right? When Jesus is told by, finds out his good friend Lazarus has died, he waits several days to go, and then he says, he's asleep. And so the disciples say, well, then he's okay, we'll just wake him up. He was talking about his death. And you know, this burning up the body thing, it conflicts with that whole symbolism of sleep. Next slide. I think I've got some other comments on this sleeping business. Yeah, this comes in 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, glass trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. Imperishable, we shall be changed. This perishable body. Yeah, do we want, let it be perishable on its own as God intended. Dust you are, to dust you will go back. Burn up the body. Yeah, God can bring back out of the ashes the body. I know that. But again, that conflicts with this whole business of peaceful sleeping. This mortal body must put on immortality. Next slide, please. We do not want you... This is a great text. I read this every time when I meet with the family at... when it's a death, I always like to meet at the funeral home with the family. I think, Pastor Johnson, you probably do the same thing. I always like to... And Norby Funeral Home and St. Michael... What's the funeral home over there?
Peterson
Funeral Home. They're always very accommodating here. I haven't had any that aren't. Well, they'll let me come in. I spend the first 10 or 15 minutes with the family before any plans are made. I have a devotion with them. I talk about the service. Then I leave and they can talk about everything else. But this is the text I like to use. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Doesn't say dead, it says asleep. That you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Is it a sin to grieve?
No,
of course not. But we don't want you to grieve as those who have no hope. For if we believe, do we? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And that's why I think historically Christians have taken their dead, laid them out carefully, either in a shroud or in a box, had some prayers, and very carefully taken them out in a dignified way and put them back in the ground from which they were taken originally, Adam was at least, in the hope of the resurrection. We say this to you, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven to shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And yeah, I know, people scatter their ashes all over the forest or whatever they might do, or in the ocean or something. Of course, God can bring them back together. We know that. But what is that saying when you do that to a loved one? Spread them all over the place? I would think we'd want to put them, they fell asleep in Jesus, put them in the ground peacefully, have a prayer, and await the day of the resurrection. Yeah, a lot of this is symbolic, but you know what? Symbols mean a lot. When the soldiers are fighting a battle and the bullets are flying and bombs are going off and legs are being blown off, and suddenly you see an American flag coming. What does that do? Ah, you don't need that there. Yes, you do. The American flag is a big thing. We've got that famous statue of Iwo Jima, right? Of the Marines raising that flag. And I read that when that flag went up, there were cheers from the ships out on the ocean there as they saw that flag go up, because that meant the United States Marine Corps was winning the battle. Okay, at least they were on the way to get the flag up. Flags mean something. And I think symbol of burying your body, your dead ones, dignified way. Yeah, it's symbolic. But we have to ask ourselves, what kind of message are we sending when we imitate the secular, unbelieving society doing what they do without asking second questions? Why are they doing this? Because the pagans, they don't have funerals in churches. They don't even believe in God. So they burn up the body and scatter the ashes around. What are we thinking by imitating this? I'm running out of time. I'm going to continue next week. And I've got several more things I want to go through. Yeah.
I just have a curious question. I'll probably be demonstrating my ignorance, but are we finding that people are doing both? Embalming for a viewing and then also cremating after that? Is that happening?
That I don't know. I'll have to ask one of the funeral directors. Did you hear his question?
Yeah, I think that's what Dana meant.
Yeah, that's what she meant.
Do they embalm before?
I would be surprised if too many do that, because it would double the cost. The reason they generally cremate is to save money. I doubt it.
My grandfather was embalmed and then cremated, embalmed for an open casket.
Okay. So apparently it is done. I don't know how prevalent it is, though. That I don't know. If somebody else knows, let me know. I'll ask one of the funeral directors. I'm not a professional on this stuff. I mean, you know, I have to ask questions on this, but I would imagine it's probably done once in a while. Okay, I want to close with a... this is All Saints Day. I think, again, as we celebrate All Saints on a topic like this, you know, we want to treat the saints who die in the Lord with reverence and dignity and respect. We don't take our saints and burn them up like a roast in the oven on Thanksgiving Day or something, a turkey out on the grill or something, for crying out loud. At least I'm not going to do that. If you want to treat your loved one like that, you may, but I'm not going to, okay? Would have been a Weber grill and burn them up? I don't think so. Ooh, that gets very, oh well. So I think on All Saints Day, we praise God for the saints who have gone before us. We want to treat them with reverence. And I do have to anticipate this question, which will come up. Some of you perhaps have had loved ones cremated. Does that mean they went to hell? No. Can a certain behavior that later on you get more information say that was not a good plan? Can that be forgiven? Of course. But we don't want to make those exceptional cases the rule. The general rule is we bury as the Christian church has always done. I want to come back to that later. Let's close with a blessing. Let you go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with and bless us all.
Amen.
Go in His peace.